The views expressed in this podcast are those of the contributors, not of Q1 Media. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. I'm afraid I can't. I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world. I'm afraid I can't help it. You're listening to the Gotcha Movies podcast, the official podcast of GotchaMovies.com. I'm Ryan Oliver.
And I'm Taylor Dvorsky.
How'd your holidays go, man?
It was good. It was really good. Just down here with family. Went and visited other family. So it's just been time spent with family. I didn't get in until early Christmas morning, but, you know, it's been nice. How's yours been?
I've been pretty good doing the same. Just visited a lot of family, got to spend time with family. So it's been a good Christmas for sure. Also, a good Christmas for freedom of speech, I guess, which is the whole, I guess this is our first, bonus episode of the Gotcha Movies podcast. We already recorded our Christmas episode, which did not include reviewing The Interview because for obvious reasons, it was pulled from major theaters, but in a quick turn of events, it got a limited theatrical release and a VOD release. And Taylor and I have both got a chance to see this movie.
This is the biggest interview since Frosty Nixon.
Frosty Nixon?
I mean, in 10 years, Ron Howard's going to make a movie out of this. We do this, we can interview any president on the planet. And then you can ask him the real questions. This is like eating our vegetables. Once you eat those, then you get to eat the steak. And we know Aaron wants his steak. This is like the Lord of the Rings, okay? I'm actually like Frodo Baggins. You're my Sam. My Samwise. I can't do it without you.
Okay.
Come with me to Mordor.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So it's the latest film from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, and it stars Seth Rogen and James Franco. And so what did you think about The Interview, Taylor?
Other than the fact that at this point, you know, after all the controversy, it's kind of reached like an impossible level of hype now that it wasn't going to quite reach. I think as a film, it's okay. You know, I laughed. It has some really good sequences. I think it maybe hits a bit of the sophomore slump with Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen. It's not near as strong as This Is the End to me. I think it still is good for quite a few laughs. I really liked Randall Park as Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
And, is it Diana Bang? Was that her last name? Who played, let me look it up.
I have the IMDb page up right now. Diana Bang, yes.
Yeah, I liked her and Randall Park a lot. And I think Seth Rogen does his usual. I was kind of annoyed with James Franco for a lot of it, which we can get kind of more into. But yeah, that's my base thoughts. It's funny. It's all right.
Yeah. I enjoyed parts of this movie. I definitely thought overall it was quite a big step down from This Is the End. Like, not just in the humor. I mean, because that movie, this is a more ambitious movie than This Is the End. I have to give them credit for that. And that, you know, the other one there, you're all satirizing themselves and playing fictionalized versions of themselves. And like, that's a more quaint. But there was also like an assured vision as directors for Rogen and Goldberg, like the sepia tone, visual cinematography, and some of the like special effects with the demons and their large dicks in that movie, I thought were really, really well done. Like, I thought there was an assured confidence in their vision as filmmakers. And for The Interview, something just felt really like clumsy about the direction. Like, some of the special effects didn't like really look convincing to me. I thought it really meandered more so than This Is the End, a movie I loved, but even though that movie I thought was a little tad too long, this one's almost 2 hours long, and it sags a lot in the middle. I did really like Randall Park, as you brought up, and I actually thought the relationship with him and James Franco, like their sort of bromance, was more convincing or more warranted than the one between Rogen and Franco, which is strange because they have such easy rapport because they're like close friends. I thought a lot of the like media aspect of it was really funny. There's a certain cameo in the beginning of the movie that's too good to spoil, but I thought that was absolutely hilarious. And there were a few things I really liked about it. Like, I laughed a certain amount of times, but ultimately something just didn't click with me the way that This Is the End did. Maybe it's the abundance of kind of toilet humor. Like, they've always been known for dick jokes, but there's a lot of like poop jokes in this movie that I thought was kind of beneath them.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of anal penetration jokes.
Yes, there's a lot of jokes about buttholes. The word is said quite a bit, and I didn't know this actually going into the movie. I just kind of assumed that Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote this movie, and they didn't. It was written by a guy named Dan Sterling. Rogen and Goldberg came up with the story, and so I'm wondering if maybe some of the things that didn't click were for me was the fact that they didn't write it. And that maybe Evan and Seth's first true narrative story, just, I don't know, maybe they got another step to go before they're in this league as filmmakers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That was a lot.
I know, didn't mean to drop such a large thesis statement on you.
Yeah, I'm trying to find which point to pick at. Let's see. What should we say here? I think I liked it more than you did. I think we can get there. This was a product of his character as well, but for the first half of the movie, until it got to that James Franco, Randall Park, Kim Jong-un, Dave Skylark bromance moments, I actually hated James Franco in this movie.
Really interesting. How so?
I think it could be a product of, it wasn't a Goldberg Rogen script, but I just hate, I mean, like I said, it's kind of a product of his character where it's just, this is his character, but I didn't really find a lot of what he was saying funny. I wasn't laughing at anything he was really doing. I just was more annoyed with his character and everything that he was doing. I didn't really start liking James Franco in the movie until Kim Jong-un was also introduced into the film.
That makes sense. I didn't dislike him, but yeah, I didn't feel like a lot of the lines, because he's a total tool in the beginning, but he's supposed to be. He's this almost TMZ type journalist, basically. He's not a real journalist whatsoever. And so, but I get some of the lines maybe not being funny. He's got a huge hard on for Lord of the Rings. He's telling Seth Rogen,
the Lord of the Rings jokes, they kept bringing throughout the entire movie, and some worked, but I don't think they
were... Even at the end, without really kind of spoiling anything, there's a book that's written, and it's even called An Unexpected Journey. I kind of laughed at, because it was like, oh man, that he would do that. But I understand that, or some of his lines that are they're just peanut butter and jealous, or they jealous because they ain't us.
They hate us because they ain't us.
They hate us because they ain't us. Why are you saying ain't us? Yeah, some of those jokes just didn't really work for me. And again, I just found it to be a little meandering, and I can't help but think, why North Korea would be upset about this movie. I mean, the movie doesn't really poke the bear that much, for lack of a better term.
And also, I can see where the maybe a little slight amount of offense comes within the climax, but I also think too, the film kind of satirizes and just kind of pokes as much fun at Americans and American politics as it does North Korean or North Korean politics.
Exactly. Especially the line that, that Seth Rogen's love interest says in the movie when they're talking about their overall plan, what Diana Bang tells him, how many times does America have to keep making the same mistake? And James Franco's as many times as it takes. So it's it does do a better job of making fun of our own politics. I actually quite did like the climax of the movie, now that you brought it up.
I was going to bring that up as well.
It built upon a line that I thought was funny early on in the movie, but ultimately I thought it was going to end up being throwaway, and it being before they go to North Korea and Seth Rogen's telling him in 10 years from now, Ron Howard's going to make a movie about this. And which was that's kind of funny. But then the actual interview between Dave Skylark and Kim Jong-un is kind of mirrored of the David Frost, Richard Nixon interview that happened that's the basis of Frost Nixon, which Ron Howard actually directed. So I thought that was kind of funny in that regard. But yeah, I thought the climax was done pretty well. It's just, I think just the middle section of the movie.
It takes like after the, and it does have a strong, I think the film has a strong opening, especially with that, like mm-hmm. the couple of really good cameos in the beginning.
Yes.
Which are some of the best scenes of the film. And then in that middle section, before Kim Jong-un is introduced in the film, that middle section is pretty meandering. It does just kind of drag. I think the film does get infinitely better when Randall Park is introduced in it. I think he's yes. great. He owns this role as Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, he's absolutely terrific in this movie. He's very, very funny. Even, you know, I think he's a really good comic actor, and I hope to see him in more things. Even in Neighbors, for just one scene, he's amazing when he tells Zac Efron that he's dumb. Like, he's very, very good. Yeah, he's very strong in this movie. The dynamic between him and James Franco is just really, like, it's almost weirdly touching, like, in a way that they, you know, connect to each other. It's weird, but, you know, Rogan and his pals, like, from the Judd Apatow, like, you know, graduating class are very good at, like, developing those bromances and making them seem, like, very heartfelt. I also like, the other thing I really like in the beginning, too, is, like, the Columbia Pictures and the title card for the interview was almost the exact same as it was for This Is the End. So I kind of like that Rogan and Goldberg are, like, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't call them auteurs necessarily, but they're trying to put their own stamp.
Like sticking to a brand that they're establishing.
Exactly. They're sticking like this is a Rogan and Goldberg film. And I like that about that. And yeah, I think it's just.
No, really, just go ahead and call them auteurs. Let's just start it here.
Might as well. Two films in and I'm going to say Rogan and Goldberg are the next comedic auteurs. But yeah, I think there was just something clumsily in the direction that just really didn't work for me. And like, again, I think the cast really makes it mm-hmm. what it is.
I mean, just once again, like same with, I really did really love This Is the End. I do think the same thing. Mm-hmm. It is a touch too long. Maybe yes. 10 to 15 minutes over. Mm-hmm. And I think same with this film. It's too long. They could have cut.
Yes.
And had a tighter, more concise film. And it definitely could have cut out some of that beginning kind of middle meandering. And really, that would have helped for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely think they could have cut out some of that beginning as well. Or not the beginning, excuse me. Some of that middle, because, like, and the other thing too, like, This Is the End, despite it being a little too long, I was still enjoying it for the most part. Like, I was still laughing, even in parts where I was like, okay, this probably needs to be wrapped up a little bit. But this one, I was like, okay, we're getting through it. And it's like, I wouldn't say, okay, like the interview portion of the climax, I think is really good. When it ends in a gunfight, I thought that was a little dull and like visually lackluster compared to This Is the End, except for a certain scene, which had leaked on the internet before. So maybe you saw it. But like that moment is warranted, but for the most part, pretty dull in the like gunfighting.
See, I was actually like, surprised by that, maybe because I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that they went really over the top violent with it, but I think I enjoyed it more because of that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't mind that it was over the top in its violence. I expected that because This Is the End is really over the top. I mean, they shoot a POV shot from a guy's decapitated head, and This Is the End. Like, it's pretty brutal. But yeah, like the finger biting, like that was kind of funny, but like just, I don't know, there was something a little bland in it for me, except for the use of Katy Perry. She's not physically in the movie, but her music is.
No, yeah, it was Firework was stuck in my head for hours.
Yes.
After watching the film.
mine too. Which also another thing, I got to credit their use of music. They have really good taste. Like, I was digging the music choices they made in This Is the End, and I dug a lot of the choices they used. They used I'm Afraid of Americans by David Bowie, and they used, I can't think of the name of the song at the moment, but it's the old Dirty Bastard song. The Hey Dirty Baby, I Got Your Money.
It's just Got Your Money.
Oh, it's just Got Your Money. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember the name of the song, but
yeah,
they use some good songs in the movie too. So the soundtrack is solid as well.
I personally still enjoyed it. Like, I'd say, you know, it's worth watching. Does it live up to the controversy? No, but it's still worth watching.
Yeah, I mean, the more we're talking about it, the more that, like, I did enjoy enough aspects to, like, warrant a moderate recommendation. I mean, you could rent this on Google Play right now for $5.99. I'd recommend that, like, for sure.
Yeah.
Doing that. And if it's playing at a theater near you, chances are it's an indie theater. Go support them. Support the theater for making the decision to run this movie in the first place, because I feel like that really hurt, because this movie was going to run in like 3,000 theaters and was going to do like 30 million this weekend. And that just isn't going to be the case anymore.
Mm-hmm. Which I wonder how much is it like kind of looking at pulling right now? Do you know?
It's looking at making maybe like 3 to 4 million for the weekend from its 331 screens, which is not a lot, but like with Box Office Mojo and sites like that, they don't include the VOD gross. Yeah,
that's what I'm wondering, is how much is it going to pull on VOD?
I honestly think that this is probably going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest VOD release ever since that format's been introduced. I think it's going to be huge. I've talked to somebody like who hasn't seen this movie already that laid down $5.99 to rent it, because, you know, everyone's been talking about it, and which, you know, is kind of good for Sony, but I mean, it's also bad in that, like, it was going to be in 3,000 screens, and this is one of those movies that, I mean, it should have been then that many screens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should have been. But I mean, it's still like, at least it is available, you know, at least it just wasn't shelved entirely.
Yes. And, agreed. I agree with that 100%.
And I think, and I mean, $5.99 is a fair price for a VOD rental too.
Oh yeah. Considering like when they're usually like $9.99 to $14.99, depending on like how long it's been in theaters or if it's on VOD before it's in theaters. Yeah, $5.99 is definitely a really, really good price. But from the sounds of it, if you're going to rent it, don't do it on Xbox or PlayStation Network, because they've been hacked. So at least that's what I heard. Oh, yeah. I haven't been following up too much about that. But
I rented it through YouTube and watched it on my PlayStation. So before the PSN went down, though.
Pretty fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still had to access PSN to utilize it, though.
Yeah, I rented it on Google Play and watched it through my Chromecast. That's how I went through.
I still think I'm probably gonna see it again. I think, like, I want to see it in a theater. Honestly, I still kind of do.
I do too. I do want to see it in a theater. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. I'm actually, as we talked off mic, I'm gonna watch it again tonight with my best friend and his girlfriend, because they haven't seen it yet. So, but that'll be at his house, so it won't be at a theater. But yeah, I'm hoping to catch it. It's playing at my favorite theater of all time, actually, the Hollywood Theater in Portland. And I'm going to try and catch it there just so I could, A, support that theater. And just, you know, it's one of those movies that even though I'm pretty lukewarm on it, and then Taylor's a little bit more kinder and liked it more than I did, for our freedom of artistic expression, even if it's a dumb R-rated comedy, like, I recommend seeing this movie just to take a stand against people fighting and trying to censor our art.
Yeah. See it for America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then watch Team America.
Yeah. for America. And yes, I would say this definitely, if you're looking for like a biting satire, Team America, this is definitely not. This is definitely not Team America, but it's a solid, I don't know. I'd put it, I'm trying to think of like a Rogan movie that I would compare it to. Like, it's not to the level of This Is the End or Pineapple Express for me, but it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a maybe mediocre to like enjoyable one that isn't like great. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But.
I can only think of that movie he was in with Barbara Streisand, but that was terrible, right? The Guilt Trip?
I never saw it, actually, so I can't really comment whether it was terrible or not. Yeah, so we don't know, but it's like, it's one of those movies, it's like, you can't say it's forgettable because no one's going to forget this movie because of the controversy, but it's like, it's an entertaining throwaway comedy that like gets at some pretty entertaining and intelligent things, but just wish it would go further with it. That's maybe my only critique. America, 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 fuck yeah, coming again. Anything else to say on the interview before we...
No, I think we pretty much summed it up, but yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. This is our first bonus episode of the Gotcha Movies podcast. And as always, you can check out our news reviews on this podcast at gotchamovies.com. And you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You could also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. So be sure to do that. Leave us a comment or rating if you're so inclined. It helps us know what we're doing right and what we can improve on. But without further ado, thank you, man, for logging on and briefly talking about the interview. This was it was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Good times all around.